I'm Tanner Johnson.
And I'm Jack Dodgen.
We're from the Eastside Church of Christ. Teen life can be difficult to navigate. New emotions, experiences, pressures, and challenges shape what we understand about our identity. It's almost like navigating a maze. Twists, turns, dead ends. The race can be both exhilarating and terrifying. At Through the Maze podcast, we believe Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. When we put our trust in Him, we can navigate the maze and build our identity based on who He says we are. And in the end, find life and life to the fullest. Thank you for walking alongside us today. All right, welcome to the Through the Maze podcast, and this is our first episode. We're starting this out, and by the time we're starting this, we're most of the way through the first month of 2022. We were shooting for earlier, but we're going to talk about some goal settings. One that we may have messed up is not
already failing on our goal.
Yeah, we're a little bit behind on that. But we're going to talk about setting godly goals, and with that, we know that a lot of you may have set New Year's resolutions back in 2021. Some of the most common ones that were set for year 2021, so I guess a half year ago
that.
50% of people said exercising, fitness is one of their main goals.
That's me.
48% was losing weight. That one was me.
Also me.
That's right. Saving money was a big one. Don't for care. 44% of people. Yeah, money.
Yeah, yeah, whatever.
Wouldn't be in ministry if we were wanting money. But anyway, improving diet was 39%. Those were some of the top four there. Do you have any for this year that you've set? We got Jack here today.
Hello.
I'm Tanner Johnson.
Hello.
From the Eastside Church of Christ youth minister. And then we have our minister Jack here with us today.
I have a goal. I'm trying to do the lose weight thing without changing the diet, the intermittent fasting thing. So a lot of self-control of stop eating right now.
Yeah.
But I can eat whatever. So it's
not
too bad. It's going well so far.
Good. That's been a big one for me, losing weight. Like I've done all right the past year. I kind of fall off the wagon hard whenever I do,
holidays and stuff are difficult.
One of the biggest places that I fail, I think, when setting goals is I will fail and then I don't get back on very fast. You know, I guess that's failed. I'll start at the beginning of next year. You know, that I do that a lot. So,
early for that.
Yeah, very much.
I'll start
too
next
early.
Year.
That's right.
23, yeah. We'll get it.
I should probably kick it back in right away. Right. But there have been over 384 tests that have concluded that goal setting has a statistically significant effect on our behavior. It's just kind of proven that if you actually choose to set a goal, you're more likely to follow through on it. And we'll talk about that in a second. But this podcast, we're wanting to be very, I guess, zoomed in on the teen experience through all this. The teen resolutions, I found in a few different kind of, I guess, little blogs all over the place.
Sure, yeah.
Some different resolutions that teens will set. And this one is from a specific 16-year-old girl that set hers. She said one of her goals was to start talking to that shy person that's at school.
Okay.
Another one's like calling up a friend that she hasn't talked to in a while. Going on a roller coaster that she was scared to go on the year before. And telling family members that she loves them more often. I think that's just really cool. Like the heart of seeing that.
I'm going to change mine.
It makes you feel like, oh man, what am I doing? There are a few others that were kind of through there. One was getting the license for a teenager. I guess that's pretty important. You know,
I'm just trying to keep mine from being revoked.
That's right. I get a few more speeding tickets and I'm in trouble. Right. Another one that was pretty cool is trying not to spread rumors as much. I mean, that's a pretty important.
Yeah, that's good.
That's pretty
good.
Cool. This one I really liked. There's a teen that said, I like to play less PC and play more in reality. Like, those are the words that were used there.
Okay.
And
yeah.
I thought it was interesting that it seems like the goals that teens have set, at least in these random places that I found it, they're less based on, like, the personal life that they're living. Like us as adults, you know, we kind of... It's lose weight, and it's like things like that that are very personal, you know. But it seemed like, at least from these small ones that I've read, that it's more about how they interact with the environment.
Yeah, including people in and community.
Yeah,
and all this. Yeah, very good.
Yeah, kind of a community thing. I just thought that was kind of cool, and I kind of wish I was had my mind set that way a little bit more often. But that was a pretty cool thing. So, had some statistics on resolution failure rates. This is pretty staggering, I think.
Yeah.
So of those who make New Year's resolutions, after 1 week, 75% are still successful in keeping it. That means, like, within 1 week, 25% of people that set resolutions have just failed. They're messed up. After 2 weeks, that drops to 71%. And then after 1 month, that drops again to 64%. Okay. So we're already down like 35-36% right now.
Yeah.
With people that have failed. It's getting pretty bad at this point. After 6 months, 46% of people who make a resolution are still successful in keeping it. So we're down to like half of everyone that has kept or has made a resolution are still keeping it. So that's like half of people. So okay. That's kind of interesting. But here's another interesting comparison is if you have the people that have set goals, like have specifically decided, like, these are the goals I'm going to set and I'm going to say it to people. I'm going to write it down. I'm going to do what I need to do. And people that just they want the same thing, but they don't actually set it or write it down or say it anywhere. The people that have those goals but don't actually set the resolution, only 4% are still successful after 6 months.
That's a huge difference.
Yeah, that's a big deal. Like, just not having it anywhere, just kind of wishing out there, like, yeah, I should lose weight, but I'm not going to actually. That little, there's that thought that's there, but it never actually comes. So in talking about setting godly goals, we want to make this spiritual application because I think that there's, we need to be able to think about our spiritual goals and do they kind of go the same way as those other resolutions, you know, where we say we want to do it, but we kind of get into this, going through the motions kind of
yeah,
thing.
The idea of being intentional.
Right.
All throughout scripture. And I think in the verse that we're about to read, you kind of see this planning and sticking with that plan and making it all happen.
Yeah. So this first scripture we're going to look at is Galatians chapter 6, verse 6 through 9. It says, "Let the one who is taught the word share all good things with the one who teaches. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever one sows, that will he also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. And let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up." So, yeah, like kind of like you said, with there's this idea of being intentional, right?
Yeah.
There's this picture that it shows up in scripture all the time of sowing and reaping. And when I think of sowing, there's a lot of planning that goes into that. You know, you have to find the plot of land that you're going to use.
Yeah.
You have to go buy the seeds you want, or I don't know how it happened, but I guess they had their other plants that they got seeds from. Either way.
We're not farmers.
Yeah, not farmers for sure. That's not the area of expertise.
But you have to work the ground.
Yeah.
Then you plant the stuff. You have to water the stuff. Mm-hmm. You've got to make sure it's got everything that it needs, and that doesn't happen by accident.
It's definitely this intentionality, like this idea of not growing weary and doing good. And I think that's an area that I struggle with. I'm sure a lot of people struggle with, where we just kind of get complacent and say, like, well, if it pops up, I'll do something good. But this is there's definitely some forethought that you see in this scripture of, like, don't grow weary in doing what's good, because you're going to reap a harvest for doing this. Like, I think naturally people are creatures of habit, routine, and rhythm. Like, one of the interesting things that I've seen is that whenever you try to make a change like this, like you make a resolution and you're trying to change your life, your brain actually registers it as if you're feeling pain. Like, whenever you're trying to make a change in your life, it's so ridiculous. Which, like, that's what makes it so hard to lose weight, that you're hungry and you hurt, right?
Yeah.
Goal setting has this way of helping us break out of rhythm and seek progress and growth. And whenever we put that in a spiritual context, maybe setting a more positive, godly rhythm, whether that's, you know, reading more scripture, whether that's changing up your prayer life, maybe your outreach, things that you want to do there. It kind of, goal setting helps us to think about, you know, let's be intentional about this and what are the steps to go forward. So, but it's also important to think about, I mean, we talk about the spiritual, and that's important, but There's also a lot to say about the physical health that we that we try to.
Paul talks about this like specifically, and he relates it to spiritual stuff. But he does say physical training is of some value. It's good to take care of those things, and maybe especially with as much as you and I have talked about weight loss,
right?
Perhaps we'll talk about that on an episode all its own at some point. But physical training does have some value. But then he says godliness has value for all things, even in your weight loss goals and things like that. One of my teachers, I only ever knew him as the guy who runs 20 miles a week.
Yeah.
That's all I ever knew him as. But he was a huge guy. And he lost all that weight partially because needed to do it for himself, wanted to do it for his wife, and wanted to take care of the body that God had given him. And so there's... the spiritual training that is beneficial for all things. It affected even, I need to take care of me because God gave me this. And so Paul encourages this, take care of your spiritual training, your godliness, because it has value for all things, holding promise, he says, for both the present life and the life to come. And so in these goals that we set and think about, set physical goals, but also pay attention to spiritual goals.
And I think we kind of have this way of separating those two things when they're not always so separate. You know, we say there's physical over here and there's spiritual over here. But I think sometimes the way you take care of your physical affects your spiritual attitude sometimes.
Yes.
Or the way that you're, I guess, spiritually, the way that you're rooted has effects on your physical, you know, like your integrity, the way that you, you know, keep your commitments, you do things. You know, I think that all has something to do there. You know.
One of the in the Sermon on the Mount, it talks about fasting in Matthew chapter 6, and had a teacher that pointed out one of the value in one of the things that comes with fasting is if you can deny yourself the thing that your body needs, the ability to eat, then you're training yourself for these things that your body doesn't need, these temptations that might come your way, to be able to go, if I can withstand this thing I need, I can definitely do do without this thing I don't need. And so it's physical training that is setting you up for spiritual success. And that's just one of several examples that we could use.
For sure. And that's great. And I think there's also something to say about, you know, framing these physical goals in the context of godliness, that it's something that we need to take care of as a gift from God. You know, thinking about all things as a gift, we're able to kind of place it in that context, and it helps us. So so in this podcast, and what I want to try to do in all these episodes is, one, we have this the biblical spiritual application, but I also want to give some practical applications, some things that there's been research on that people have found to be successful, and when we get to the end of this, we're going to talk about ways that we want to try to navigate all this together, because I guess the full title of this is Through the Maze, Navigating Teen Life Together, right? Where if you want to leave a comment on this, it's how you've dealt with it and what's worked for you, what hasn't. But we'll get into that later. One of the big things that's been adopted by a lot of businesses, really, a lot of prominent people, is the idea of SMART goals. You may have heard of them, but it's specific, measurable, achievable, relevant, and time-bound. People who write down their goals are 20% more likely to achieve them. I've recently kind of feel like I've been on a roll a little bit with some of my goals, and I attribute that mostly to, at the very beginning of this year, I bought a journal, and that's something that I recommend to everybody. And I've started keeping like daily goals, and it's like I write it down, so I come back and look at it later, and like, well, there you failed, there you got it, and it's pretty cool how that happens. But being very specific, it's statistically shown that people who write down their goals are 20% more likely to achieve them. It kind of focuses your attention; it keeps attention from being dispersed between too many things. There's this pressure to just be better at all the things sometimes, you know, you feel this pressure, like you start feeling down about yourself. It's like, oh, I just got to get everything better right now. It's more of, let's start with this one thing and let's get very specific and let's grow that way. Whether it's you, I want to be a better Christian. that's great, but it's very vague.
Yes.
It's kind of like, where do you zoom in right now for your life? Like, do you want to control your anger better? Do you want to do more outreach? Do you want to read your Bible more? Do you want to work on being more appreciated or appreciative of grace that you've received? You know, just very, very specific things, like get down to what is your specific goal that you want to reach.
Yeah, and if you feel like you are getting specific, keep going and get more specific.
Right.
You know, as much as you can narrow it down to, okay, every week I'm doing this, that's
right.
Great, and it affects this next one here of measurable goals.
Right, yeah, measurable goals, and that's a... There's this need to be able to measure your goals, right? If you just you just throw it out there and see what happens, you don't know whether you've succeeded or failed, right? But it needs to be something that you can measure so that you have this tangible evidence that you've accomplished your goal, and it just kind of increases the encouragement you receive, I guess, when you go back and say, "Hey, I did that."
Yeah,
like so,
yeah.
Like if we had an example, like your resolution, I want to be better at outreach, sharing my faith, right? A measurable goal might be to invite one friend to church or to one church function this month. You know, that might be something that like that's also specific. It's measurable,
yeah.
But it's something you say, well, you get to the end of the month. It's like, did I invite a friend to church? Yeah. Or no, you know, whatever it is. And then, so you have this way of this tangible evidence that you did or didn't accomplish your goal.
And that's going to help, like Tanner said at the beginning, to give you... you can either have the illusion of failure, and that's what leads a lot of people to quitting. Mm-hmm. You know, if your goal is Bible reading and you know, I haven't read it in the last 2 days,
mm-hmm.
your thought process is going to be, I failed,
mm-hmm.
and you know, I'm already behind, and so I might as well.
Yeah.
But if you're keeping track of this and you look at it and go, I didn't read the last couple of days, but I read 5 times this week.
Yeah.
You know, that's way better than what I was doing before. Let's get back on let's try to make it 7 this next week.
Yeah.
And having those things measured down might help pull you out of your feelings of failure. It'd also help you, if you feel like you're being super successful, to realize, no, you read 10 times this month and you're trying to read 30 times this month.
Right.
You know, keeping track of all that keeps you from overhyping yourself or underselling yourself.
So. Yeah. So it kind of gives you a sober view of where you are.
Yes.
It places you right in the middle where, you know, you're not too far in either
stats
direction.
Stats don't lie. So anything that you record,
that's
there and it's truthful.
Mm-hmm,
you know, and you can look right back at it.
Yep. I'm sorry. So we had SM. Now we're on A, which is achievable goals. Achievable goals, it's a goal. It's something that you know you can do. Think baby steps.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
You don't go from, you don't go from not reading the Bible at all to reading the whole New Testament in one night. You'll burn out pretty quick doing something like that.
Yes.
You start with, I'm going to read one chapter a day, right? You build that habit. You can say, I know that I can successfully do one day. Now maybe I'll change to 2 chapters a day after that, you know? You break the one big thing down into a lot of little pieces.
Yes.
You know, you take that, kind of like you said earlier about the specific, you take the really big thing and you just break it down into the smaller pieces that you can. Like, use an example of maybe a big goal is, I want to run a marathon by next year. Most advice that's given is is you need to, you know, work up to it, right? You get very specific with this goal. I need to be able to run 2 miles without stopping by the end of this month, maybe 4 miles without stopping by the end of next month, 6, so on. And you work yourself up to where you can finally do the 26. But I've read in Proverbs that, like, it's the wicked that run without no one chasing.
Yeah,
so
it's
I don't know
just
why
a bad goal. Yeah,
yeah.
Don't run.
That's right. Don't run is kind of what we should be talking about here. Well, that's a serious issue.
Making sure things are achievable is a huge deal, because there might even be this mindset of, I haven't been doing this thing I know I should, and so I really need to dive into it. Well,
right.
You will crash and burn if you do that.
Right.
Just be okay with, and have grace with yourself that you are doing better today than you were, and let that be enough, and then keep moving from there. You are progressing. You are achieving.
Right.
Keep going from there.
Yeah, right. So now we get to R in the SMART goals, and that stands for relevant. You want to make relevant goals. This one kind of applies to your more minor goals that are leading up to your big goals. So, like, if you want to read a chapter a night, it is not relevant to your goal how many pizza rolls you can make. Okay. Right. Unless that helps you stay up or something, or like if those just really get you focused.
Can't read without my pizza roll.
That's right. Yeah. there's an importance to this relevance that if your goals need to be focused in a way towards where you're going, at least your serious minor goals that are leading to it. If I want to read a full book during the month or something, I want to make sure that, I'll buy the book, you know,
there might be, joking about the pizza rolls thing, but there might be some relevant, there might be something alongside this that you're like, I need to get in this routine. And so every night I'm going to get decaf and that's when I'm going to read or something like that. You know, the decaf thing might be related to your goal, as weird as that sounds, but getting yourself in kind of a mode of, I'm going to prep and set these things up. Yeah. And sometimes they might even mix with one another.
Yeah,
you know, if you're trying to avoid eating for a little bit so that you can cut down on weight or something, I'm going to read my Bible during that time. I'm going to get both my goals with one thing. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Do something that works for you.
Right, yeah. Yeah, that's big that it works for you. I mean, it's...
don't make it harder than it needs to be.
Yeah, yeah. Anyway, so getting into the last one here is having a time-bound goal. Time-bound, in my opinion, whenever I think about time-bound, it's really about accountability. This is kind of one of the things that I have to keep checking myself on as far as, like, staying accountable with it. It's like you get to, like, you give yourself a certain amount of time, and it's like, okay, this is the day that I am going to check on my goals, make sure I'm staying with it. I think it's really important to be able to find accountability partners for things like this. Like, have somebody that's working on the goal with you so that they can keep you in check as you're going. You say that I want to accomplish this much by this week. I think this is a very important aspect of the SMART goals, or is just to remember a time to evaluate.
Yeah. It helps you break these things down, and all a lot of these, that's what it comes down to, is have as big a goal as you want, but you need to break it down into things you can actually do, things you can actually measure, things you can actually accomplish, and look at within a certain time frame to go, yes, I am moving towards the finish line. It's not natural for us to do that. It's go big or go home.
Right,
don't start. never get out of bed.
Right.
But we need to have this focus on taking things one step at a time, little by little, a day at a time, you know, an hour at a time, maybe, depending on what it is, in order to accomplish it.
Right. And I think this portion is so important for the people that are the procrastinators, the people that, you know, you say the do tomorrow, like the DUE tomorrow, DO tomorrow, right?
Yeah.
You need to, I mean, I guess my suggestion, because I'm one of these people, is set your goals a day at a time or until you can work yourself up or whatever.
Yeah.
Just keep yourself in check, because I know that in my personal experience, it's easy to just kind of let goals go and die when you don't take time to evaluate and make sure you're staying on track. But yeah, all those things work together to make realistic goals. You have your set there. I'm actually going to add one thing to the SMART goals here.
Okay.
And because I was kind of doing some research, looking at some of this stuff, and one of the big criticisms of this SMART goals idea is that it doesn't always lead to satisfaction whenever you accomplish them. It almost becomes about accomplishing goals just for the sake of accomplishing goals. You
know,
you hit the check boxes and you're not really fulfilled. You just kind of done it.
Yeah.
So something that I think fits well is remembering your why. It kind of makes it SMARTy goals. Yeah, it's pretty cool, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, like, there's more fulfillment that comes from completing goals with a deep purpose in mind. And I think there's another level of richness that we get whenever our purpose comes through Christ. we can get it into our minds that God doesn't want us to have success so much in the wealth department. What I mean by that is, like, if we have goals of financial success, we think it's greedy, almost.
Yeah,
you
know? Yeah.
Like, if I'm trying to take care of money, it means that I'm being greedy. Or maybe, like, if we're talking about our physical body, there's some arrogance if we're, like, we care so much about what our body's like, you know. But I think it's not so much that God doesn't want us to not be successful, but it's about remembering to honor God in our successes. Whenever we succeed, it needs to be something that goes to the honor of God, and that kind of roots our goals in a purpose, you know. Example of what I'm trying to talk about here is, like, say that you say, I want to put a little more time and focus into studying for school because I want to equip myself and develop good habits for college so that I can do well, graduate, and get a good job. Then you ask the question, why? Why do I want to accomplish that? You can say, well, I just want to be loaded, which is sure, all good, yeah. I guess, you know. I want that big house and that nice car. But I guess this might be my opinion. It can be an argument, but the simple accumulation of cash is kind of a broken well, in my opinion. You keep filling it up and it'll never be enough, you know. Or you could say, I want to make a good amount of money so that I can use it to give back, that I can help people, that I can be in a good financial situation. Maybe I'd take care of my family good first, but I have ways to honor God with my success, and I have ways to kind of use it in that way.
Yeah, you know, God's given me the opportunity to have this sort of education. Not everybody gets that. And so you go, I want to pursue higher learning because I'm in an opportunity to do that, because God gave me the opportunity.
Yeah.
Hey, well, that's reframing that goal in a spiritual way.
Right. And I mean, there's plenty of examples that we can think about like this. Like, if you want to be more kind so that you're more approachable, like, if your goal is just not be rude to people, like, that's a good goal. I don't want to – you kind of rooted in, I don't want to hinder my ability to share Christ through my attitude, you know. Or maybe you want to lower your screen time, be more present with friends and family. You want to appreciate that gift that God's given you, you know, framing it that way. It's important to establish what your foundation is. What is at the very base level of why you do what you do? There's something really rich in placing God at your foundation, like the examples that we have above, like where you're planted matters. And I had this a couple of verses from Psalm chapter 1 that I wanted to bring up here, where it says, "Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and who meditates on his law day and night. That person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do prospers." We're talking about navigating this maze, and this podcast is built around the belief that Christ is the way. It takes a lot of trust to do that.
Yeah.
Our goals need to be rooted in this biblical truth, as well as just the deep love of God for us, you know, not in selfish ambition, not in, I'm doing this all for myself, because that's kind of empty.
Yes.
If we do that, if we root our goals in this biblical truth, in the love of God, like the writer of Psalms here says, we'll be like trees planted by streams of water that yield fruit in their season. So let's be intentional, and let's set godly goals so that we don't go through the motions in 2022. But we have many successes that we can honor the one that has given us so many beautiful gifts. So, Jack, well, thank you for your inputs today. That's kind of getting near the close. Any last thoughts for any of that? Or
we want your input, too. Yeah, let us know what your goals are. I guess the benefit of this being at the end of the month is, if you've already bombed your goals,
that's right.
Restart.
Yeah.
Restart. Join us on all of that, and let us know if we can help you pursue those goals in smarty ways.
That's right. You definitely don't have to wait until 2023 to get goals set and to go there. You can do it today if you want. I wanted to give Jack a thank you, and also wanted to give a shout out to Tim King, who's been working on the website for us to get this up. But
yes, thank you.
That's a wrap. So God bless. Thank you for joining us on the Through the Maze podcast. This is the part where we navigate teen life together. Subscribe and like this podcast, share it with friends, leave a comment about your experience dealing with the issues we talked about. We don't pretend to have all the answers. We'd love to see you share what has worked for you and what hasn't worked. What are your stories about dealing with today's topic? It's also an opportunity to share a word of encouragement as we try to understand where Christ is leading us as we navigate through the maze.